This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcasts.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Melanie Diesel.
I think that is probably the biggest disservice we've done on, you know, in the creation of this content marketing phenomenon, maybe, is giving such high expectations, often without the tools to fulfill them.
Melanie is a keynote speaker, author, award-winning branded content creator, and lifelong storyteller on a mission to share the power of compelling and credible content with others. Melanie is the author of the Content Fuel Framework, How to Generate Unlimited Story Ideas, and the founder of Story Fuel, which teaches marketers, publishers, creators, and companies of all sizes how to tell better brand stories. Prior to founding Story Fuel, Melanie was the first editor of branded content at the New York Times, a founding member of HuffPost's brand storytelling team, and served as director of creative strategy for Time, Inc. Melanie, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to catch up. It's been a while.
It has been a while since we have chatted either online or in our carbon-based forms at a conference or event. And in that time, you have a new exciting book coming out here in just a few short weeks from when we are chatting right now. So we'll remind folks about that and where to go find it if they want to pre-order it. Because I think that, boy, we talk about ideas a lot, and we talk about words and brands, and every word in that title is working hard for the money. Because you talk about a content framework and about generating unlimited story ideas, and that's the real hang-up. That's the real challenge, right?
It really is, and that's what the book was born out of. You know, this wasn't the book that I meant to write or even necessarily wanted to write, but I think it's the book that my audience needed, really. This was the question I was getting all the time. Well, I've run out of things to say, or how can I possibly say anything, you know, new or exciting? You know, I've been at this for so long. So that's really what the challenge we were trying to solve for is, how do you continue to come up with new ideas, new perspectives, new ways of maybe telling the same story if you feel like it's getting stale, or just ways to tell story in general if maybe that's new for you. You know, you're trying a new format, you're just starting a YouTube channel, something like that. So I think we're all sort of, we get stuck creatively sometimes.
Yeah, well, and it makes me think too of this phase of digital marketing that we find ourselves in, whether it's with social media and, okay, there were all these new things. Now we pretty much know what we're doing here. Rinse, lather, repeat. And on the content side of things, that's a little more challenging because the rinse, lather, repeat involves writing something compelling, making an interesting video. And if we're years into this, which is great to have that experience, but the challenge is sometimes ideas don't always feel like a renewable resource.
Right. Well, and I think it's funny. The same thing happens in so many areas of life. You know, for anyone who's been privileged to have a partner in your life for any extended period of time, you face that same thing, right? We've been to every restaurant around our neighborhood. You know, we've done it. What are we going to do? How are we going to, what's something new, a new way for us to bond together? And I think you run into the same thing, you know, as a creator. It's like, well, gosh, what's next? You know, I feel like I've told our origin story. I've talked about our products. I've shared customer stories. Like, where can I go from here? And that definitely comes up, and you do start to feel like you've run out, your well is run dry. And I think what happens so often is that we just don't really have a system to tap into it. And if we understand how to guide our brain toward more effective idea generation, if we have a system, a process, you know, a language for talking about what we're doing, then it becomes a lot easier to activate it with intention rather than just relying on like a muse or luck, or I've got to be sitting at this certain table at the cafe with just the right amount of caffeine, you know?
Yeah, those seem like the crutches that we find ourselves leaning on. So where do you start if you're one of those marketers who's in their mind created all of the content? And I'm going to unintentionally, but I'm very proud of this metaphor. You've got your content fuel. What do marketers do that are sort of coasting on fumes when it comes to their content ideas?
Can I use that? I'll
yeah,
give you
absolutely.
Credit for the first couple
of times.
I think that's amazing. I love it. But yeah, no, that I think the first thing to really look at is, you know, and this is, you know, not something we talk about in the book, but my first recommendation is always to look at what's worked very well for you in the past and figure out how you can take that insight and create more content that's along similar lines. So for example, if you look back and see, well, okay, some of our most trafficked pieces of content or most viewed videos, whatever, you know, your form of measurement is, are those where we talk to customers, where we share customer or vendor or client stories, right? An insight you can draw from that is that our audience likes when we have people-focused content. And so maybe we should create content about other people, maybe, you know, our community partners, our neighbors, you know, the stores on either side of our storefront, you know, other prominent members of our local community. So, you know, if you look at what's working, you can often find, you know, hints from your audience about what they may want more of. And that can help, again, put your head in the right direction and think in a certain type of content format or focus that's going to allow you to capitalize on what you know is already working.
So, and if you, once you determine what's already working, is there a formula for a... I hate the idea of a new spin. It feels cliche, but what can you do to make it different? If once you've identified that's working, how can you see it with fresh eyes?
Yeah, so there's two options here. So actually, you know, there may be three options here. I think we're coming up with more ideas on the fly. So the first thing is, like I said, if you've determined that it's a particular topic that people are interested in, try approaching that topic through a different focus. So, you know, maybe you told that story with your focus on a specific person. Well, what if you looked at the numbers and told the data side of that story? Or what if you looked at history and told the history of that person, that story? You know, looking at that same story but through a different lens is one way to approach it. Another way to approach it would be to tell this a similar story but through a different format. So perhaps you did a written interview with your customer before, or a written interview with, you know, one of your clients. Well, what if you did that via audio or video? What if you made an infographic showing that person's journey, you know, or a timeline showing, you know, your experience with them as a customer, your relationship, how it's gone on over time, how it's grown and how you've brought them value, but plotted out on a timeline. And then the third idea would be, like you said, to actually just repeat that piece of content with a multiplier that makes it different. So in the book, I talk about multipliers as something that allows you to turn one piece of content into many. And so an example of a multiplier would be time. So, you know, maybe you told that story in, we'll give an example of like the five things you need to do at tax time, right? Maybe that's, you're a financial advisor. So that's a piece that you wrote, you know, five things to do at tax time. It worked really well. Well, what if I do it for a different time? Maybe it's things you need to do at the end of the year to get your finances in order. So I've picked a different time. Maybe you pick a different life milestone as a time. So what to do when you get married or when you have your first child? How do you prepare for that financially, or take the right steps financially? So by looking at time as a multiplier, you can often do the same piece of content, but with some different time element that allows it to work different, work differently for your audience. Another example would be, you know, if you do any sort of roundup, you can do it the best of the month. We often see those kinds, right? Here's our best blog posts of this month, or, you know, the biggest news items of a particular month, of a quarter, of a year. Roundups tend to work really well and be highly repeatable when you just change the time period that you're looking at.
I love that idea of a multiplier too, because that gives people something to look for to add. It seems like that's good jump from the fuel metaphor, but I feel like a lot of times it's helpful if we know what ingredients we can add to something, what we can grab off the shelf to spice this up, to reinvent that recipe. Boy, there's all kinds of just clunky metaphors with content marketing, isn't there? Cookbook.
There really are.
I feel like I wrote a content marketing cookbook for a workshop once years ago.
Well, and that's one of the things that was really exciting to me is, you know, in putting together the framework for the book, what I was trying to do was to give us this shared language, this way of talking about it. And that's where I came up with this. Here's a list of potential focuses, what you could tell stories about, you know, different lenses through which you can look at your stories. And then here's the formats, the ways you can bring those stories to life, you know, writing, audio, image gallery, etc. What was really exciting to me is that as hard as it was to come up with all of these and make sure that they were unique, it was actually harder to narrow it down because there are so many cool ways we can tell stories. Like, you know, cookbook isn't one of the options of formats that I give. It's not part of the 10 that I narrow down, but that's totally valid. You know, so is a coffee table book or a coloring book or a feature length film. You know, just the other day I was in a bookstore and I saw a recent issue of McSweeney's, you know, Lit Mag, and they had... it was actually being sold in a plastic bag and it had balloons in it. And the balloons had stories printed on them and it said inflatable stories. And I thought, like, gosh, there's so many ways we could communicate with our audience, so many ways for us to deliver content that, you know, we're not even thinking of. Obviously, balloons wasn't on my top 10 list of formats to deliver content.
Next time. But I love
missed opportunity.
Yeah, more balloons. But see, that's just the way to reinvent the content for the next time is remember exactly. Balloons as something you can use. But I love what you said about a shared language, and it makes me think of your background as, you know, someone working on the content side for organizations that are very traditional publishers, the New York Times, mm-hmm. Time. And I think that, you know, when content marketing first arrived on the scene, you know, everybody in all their presentations talked about how everyone's a publisher now. And yep. It's in all our slide decks somewhere. But I think that what publishing has is, you know, for being around so long, it has this shared language, this understanding around it. And I think as content marketing... you know, really lays this solid foundation. And in many ways, yes, it's been around for forever in various forms and soap operas and whatnot. But this stage of online content marketing that we find ourselves in now, I think is really thirsty for these frameworks, especially as we look at continuous improvement.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think that shared language you're talking about, what's interesting to me is that so much of what we use in content marketing does come from journalism, right? We are trying to be publishers in that way. But what I've always found so challenging and kind of what I've spent a lot of my time working on is we've shifted the expectation that brands and, you know, even independent small companies, you know, solopreneurs have to act like publishers, but they've in most cases not been given the training, the language, the skill set, the tools to be able to do that efficiently. And so, you know, it can often feel like a huge burden rather than an opportunity. You know, it could feel stressful instead of like a fun creative challenge, you know? And so I'm hoping that this, in some way, that the Content Fuel framework helps with that, right? It gives people feeling like I know what I'm talking about. I understand how to talk about content. And in doing so, I become more effective in generating content ideas. I think that is probably the biggest disservice we've done on, you know, in the creation of this content marketing phenomenon, maybe is giving such high expectations, often without the tools to fulfill them. And so, you know, hopefully we can reduce that stress a little bit, because I know that journalists, you know, you never see an empty newspaper rack with a sign that says, we couldn't come up with anything, so there's no news today, you know, or a website that says, come back tomorrow for fresh stories. We couldn't think of anything, you know?
Right.
So this idea that creativity and content ideas are a scarce thing, that they're it's difficult to come up with ideas, really only comes from a lack of training in that area. You know, it's that we don't have that language and those tools to share easily. So hopefully, you know, I could help content marketers, you know, PR professionals, other communicators feel like they have that same confidence in their ability to summon unique content ideas on deadline, whatever that deadline is for them.
Do you struggle to keep up with everything that's new with marketing today? Don't get frustrated. Get scrappy. I'd love to bring my Get Scrappy keynote to your next conference or corporate event. With a foot in the classroom and a foot in the field working with clients, I know what works and why, and I can't wait to share it with you during a talk that mixes strategic insights with tactical, practical tips. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics, at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard with two A's .com/speaking. Now back to the show.
So you've had a lot of experiences, as mentioned, with some very big organizations, and are today still working with, as you mentioned in your idea for writing this book, that it's the book that people need. What are some of the organizational obstacles that you find folks that you work with running into when it comes to content marketing?
I think there's a lot of things that can get in the way, right? Like every organization has their challenges. I think one that comes up almost universally is that no one feels they have enough time to create the content they want to create, right? That either they don't have enough people, or, you know, they're just too strapped to be able to deliver on all the magical ideas that they, you know, they want to create. And I think we all just feel that kind of as humans, that we're a little overwhelmed and there's so much we want to do and only so much time. So that definitely comes up. I think the second one, which is very similar, is a lack of resources. So, you know, I hear a lot of, we have this amazing idea for a video series, but we don't have, you know, the equipment we need, or, you know, we don't have someone who can operate the camera. We don't have an editor on staff. You know, they don't have the resources maybe to fulfill the ideas that they want to create. Oftentimes there's great solutions for those kinds of things. You know, you could find cheaper options. You can find, you know, freelance talent or contract workers who can help with some of that, or tools that can replace some of that. But the third one that I hear often is around this idea of like, we're not smart enough, we're not creative, that's not my thing, you know, that's sort of a confidence issue. But I think hopefully we're shifting the mentality there. But I do think that most often people are concerned about, like, I don't have enough time, or I don't have enough talent and other resources to make this stuff happen. And that's, for anyone who's a creator in a creative role, that's always a bummer, because you think about what could have been, you know, what you could have created.
Yeah. Well, and those are, you know, it's that runs the whole spectrum of some very real, very concrete, boy, you can, I mean, the old saying, you can make more money, you can't make more time. Those are some very real walls to run up against, and not that confidence isn't, in some ways it can be harder in its own way. But there's the whole spectrum of challenges. Where do you start with some of those?
Well, I mean, I think that I hinted at some of the options there. I mean, generally speaking, if time is an issue, if maybe you have the other resources that you need and you're just not having the time, then maybe you can throw other resources at that problem and find someone in the a contractor, freelancers. You know, there are a lot of really talented journalists who have been, you know, sort of victimized by the digitization and downsizing of newsrooms across the country. You know, they have amazing storytelling skills and are looking for stories to help people tell. So I always encourage people to, you know, find folks like that who can help you make this stuff come to life, if you have the resources. if you are really stuck for time and you're not able to find a person or you know, maybe a tool that saves you time, then, you know, looking to see if there are other places where you can create time. You know, I know you said you can't actually make more hours in a day, but you can reallocate the hours you have. And I find that, again, in a lot of cases, when it comes to content, you may be spending time on something that could be very easily automated or outsourced at minimal cost. So, for example, you know, a lot of people spend time transcribing things. You know, we have a video, we're trying to create a blog post from it, so I'm going to listen and take notes. You know, there are services that for cents on the minute, you know, mere dollars on the hour will transcribe all of your video and audio with decent accuracy. You know, I mean, there's maybe a few niche terms or names that you have to correct spelling of, but for the most part, instead of spending, you know, 2 or 3 hours trying to, you know, transcribe and take notes on a video or podcast interview to create your show notes or your, you know, your blog post, you can have that done in just a few minutes, you know, by someone else and get all that time back in your day. And there are a lot of other tools that are similar, you know, design tools like Canva and others that are very drag and drop, even for non-designers, to help, you know, save you some time that you may be using to create, you know, banner images or blog headers and things like that for your content. So generally a tool, tool or talent are two easy ways that you can kind of solve for some of those issues.
He nods along while listening and then goes to edit this podcast by himself because, hanging on to instead of outsourcing. I know, it's just, I'm strange because I
it is hard, though.
Because I like doing it. And sometimes, especially as you talk about this stuff, it's good to have some things that you actually get under the hood and make, but it's I would certainly by my complaints to hear me grumble around the house, I would probably fall into that that time camp as well.
Well, one of the things that can be helpful, I think exactly what you're describing is sort of built in as a sub challenge of some of the ones we've just talked about, right? Of either I don't know how to outsource to someone or, you know, I'm too close to this. All the procedures are in my head and therefore I can't really train someone on it. One of the best things you can do is if you are looking to outsource something from a content perspective soon or in the future, find ways to document what you do. And there are ways to do that with very little effort. So, for example, you can find a free screen recording tool and simply record your screen while you go through a process. And you can use your voice to narrate what you're doing. Okay, so now I'm going here. I'm actually cutting this part out because I don't like how this sounds. I'm adding this file in because I like how this looks here. I always format things this way. You know, you can kind of narrate aloud as you do something while recording your screen. And that way you don't have to go through the extra effort of, you know, creating some sort of documentation. You actually have that for someone to watch as a training that will answer a lot of their questions. And as we talked about, you can have that screen recording video transcribed for very little money. And then you have a written version of those instructions. And you can use those two resources to help train or outsource, you know, to allow someone else to take that off your plate. Because I think that barrier of training someone takes so much work sometimes lets us hold on to, you know, certain parts of our content process for too long.
I love that. And screen recording, I know for me that handoff that you just mentioned is, I mean, even though I like doing it. What the literal concern I have is, it'd take me just as long to explain how I do what I do to someone else. So that's a great tip as well. So as we get close to the end of our time together, I want to make sure I leave time for the book. There's lots, we've talked about it a bit, but there's lots of books about content marketing out there. Why is the content fuel framework something that marketers should check out?
I think the promise that I make to you with this book is that by the time you finish it, you will feel like you have a language to talk about content with confidence, and you will feel absolutely sure that you can come up with content ideas that fit your goals and your strategy at a moment's notice, no matter what else is on your plate. You know, it really gives you a very simple, very approachable process to sit down in a brainstorm and have some structure to it and know you're not just trying to think of something or grab an idea out of thin air, but you have lists and tasks and prompts that are going to help make sure that that's productive for you, that you walk away with the ideas that you need. And it will work, whatever you're thinking. You know, it doesn't work for my business, for my content type, for my platform. I promise you that it will. You know, it is very sort of resource agnostic. This is not a system that only works if you have money. This is not a system that only works if you have a whole team. You know, some of the best feedback I've gotten from early readers is from people who are sort of solopreneurs, you know, the authors or, you know, entrepreneurs who are kind of starting up their own brand and wearing many hats and saying, this has cut down my brainstorm time from hours a week to, you know, minutes a week, and I'm creating more as a result. So I promise you that it will save you time. It will help you access the depth of creativity within you much more easily, and hopefully make it fun in the process. You know, hopefully you can come up with things that you didn't even know you had buried deep in there.
I love that, because brainstorming is one of those things that I was just thinking about this the other day. We all talk about the importance of doing, and it is, but we need some structure and process around it. I think that
right.
to toss out another tired phrase, are throwing things, ideas at the wall. You know, giving that some structure gets it closer to something that you can... you can do something with, and do so in a repeatable way as well.
Exactly. I think that's what it is too, is that, you know, oftentimes brainstorm is kind of a cruddy word to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, who aspires to a storm? That just, it sounds like chaos and unpleasantness. No one wants that, really. But it's the only system that, you know, or lack of system, I guess, that we all agree on, is that, okay, we're supposed to get in a room and then just think content, 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 content until something comes to us, right? The lack of process, the lack of structure is what makes it so stressful, because you never know where it's going to come from. You know, I think that is really what makes it so intimidating. And hopefully if we knew how to do it, it would make it less scary that we have to do it so often.
It makes me think of my love of language came from my first job working at a publishing company, and the editorial director, when we were walking to a meeting together, I said, it's a brainstorming meeting. And he said, well, you should make sure you bring your conceptual umbrella. So, for the brainstorm, ba-doom, boom, tsh.
I love that.
Well, it
maybe we need a new term to replace brainstorm.
I kind of
think so. We'll have to work on that.
I kind of think so. But it's a story that makes me smile. And speaking of smiles, as we wrap, Melanie, what's a brand that has made you smile recently?
So this is going to be maybe an atypical response, but a brand that made me both smile and cry in very quick succession was actually Google during the Super Bowl. Did you see the Quest, the commercial?
Yes.
So this was a good one. It tugged on the heartstrings and, you know, talked about, it was focused on the husband and an older couple who clearly was starting to lose his memory, and he was using the Alexa technology to remind himself of things. You know, remind me of that, you know, my wife loves this particular thing. Remind me that my wife used to love to do this thing, right? So it's sort of using it as a memory aid as he's losing his memory. So it was really touching, and so it did make me cry, but it also made me smile because I thought it was such a bold move, and I loved that they really showed instead of told the audience the value. Now, surely not every customer faces those same challenges and will use the product in the same way, but they really did a good job of, you know, really demonstrating instead of just declaring the value that they could bring. And so, from a storytelling perspective, I was very excited to see that.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. It is, it's everything that we talk about with story, as opposed to this is a product, these are the features. This is a story,
right.
and one that is very powerful and very, very resonant as well. Melanie, as we close things down, I want to make sure that we send folks to the right place. If people are excited for that new language about content marketing, if they want some structure to their brainstorming and a system for generating more ideas, where can they go to get their copy of the Content Fuel Framework?
Well, I've tried to make it super easy for you. So if you want to snag a copy of the book from Amazon, you can go to iwantmelaniesbook.com, and that will zoom you right over to Amazon so you can check out a copy there. If you want some other buying options, you can find links to those at our website at storyfuel.co. So that's story, F-U-E-L.co. And that'll tell you everything about Story Fuel, what we do, the book, coaching, masterminds, the whole shebang. So that's the best way to get in touch with us and learn more about what we are all about.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Melanie, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Thank you for letting me share my story.
And if you like the stories that we told, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.